Hallelujah. Praise God. We just read Psalm 136, which starts by focusing our attention upon God Almighty. There are three key words in Psalm 136 that we need to understand so that we can set the priorities straight in our life and set the powers straight in our life. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. The first verse in Psalm 136, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, is an introduction that Jehovah, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, is the Lord. And after the introduction is made, that this is the Lord, there is a little expansion of the introduction. Second verse says, oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. This Lord that we introduced to you in the first verse is actually the God of gods. Yes, there are gods in this world. There are gods in this universe. But Jehovah, our Father, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is the God of all these gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. He is the Lord. There are many other lords in this world and in the universe. But He is the Lord of lords. Sister Suja, a few days back, reported to me that she was hearing something on television. This was a so-called Christian channel. In that Christian channel, a man was interviewing another lady. I'm not going to call her sister. Let's just call her another lady and just call this guy a man. And he was telling that lady, what you told me baffled me and opened my eyes. And to his arrogance, these are the words of blasphemy that the man who calls himself a pastor said. He said, you told me, girl, that there is one name for God in heaven and there are many names on this earth. Christians call him Jesus. Muslims call him Allah. Buddhists call him whatever his name is, Buddha. And that was enough for sister. She said, this is blasphemy, a Christian channel. And then I told the Lord about it. And when I told the Lord about what happened on that so-called Christian channel, the Lord spoke back to me and said, you need to find the verse in the Bible that clarifies this confusion. And I said, Lord, what is the verse in the Bible? And the Lord said, God the Father has exalted Jesus Christ and given him a name above every other name that is in the heaven and in the earth and in the whole universe. For there is no other name in the universe by which men can be saved. So it's not Allah or Buddha or Confucius. There is only one name given among men. There is not a different name in heaven and a different name on earth. There is only one name in the universe, and that's the word of God. And God said, that is Jesus. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the Lord said, all these false doctrines and all these confusions are going to increase as the spirit of Antichrist works. So instead of you getting upset with all these confusions and the twisting of the word of God, you go back to the word of God and study to show thyself a workman approved of God, strong in the word of God, and let the word of God penetrate into your body and soul and spirit. So when the devil stretches forth his right hand, to work signs and wonders, to deceive, if possible, the very elect. On that day, you will stand in the word of God, because the Bible says, I've written my word, and the wise man built his house upon a rock. And I said, Lord, here's another question. Some people say they have the word of God. Is that scriptural? God said, you have the word, you have the Bible. What does the Bible say about it? And I couldn't remember. And the Lord spoke again and said, go back to John chapter 1, verse 1. What does the Bible tell you about it? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And God said, do you understand that verse? I said, yes, Lord. So who has the Word? I said, God. So who is the Word? I said, God. And he said, who was in the beginning? I said, the Word. And yes, what is the beginning? I said, that is past eternity, which I cannot comprehend. And he said, therefore, every statement that men make, everything that you hear, compare it with the word of God. And instead of getting upset, learn, grow in the unadulterated word of God, that you may also become like Jesus. Psalm 136 tells us that people of this world have their priorities mixed up. But people of God should not have their priorities mixed up. The people of this world have set their gods above the Lord of Lords. Let us name some of the gods. Finance, banks, stock market, doctors, government, wife, boss, weather, and you can go on naming it. These are the gods that the people of this world have made for themselves. And these gods rule over them. We are not run by the financial system of this world. We are not dependent on this world's riches. We are dependent upon God's riches. The Bible says, my God shall supply, my God. I have the God of gods as my God. And he shall supply all my need, because my need is minuscule compared to his riches. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and they were separated, sanctified, purified, washed, and on the third day, the glory of God came upon Mount Sinai, and the people approached to worship God. There was no other God among them. There was no other God among Israel. Israel was pure and perfect before God. And then they heard the first commandment. I am. Focus on me. Don't focus on the world. Don't focus on the sun and the moon and the stars. Don't focus on the universe. Focus on the I am who has always existed. Nobody else existed in the beginning but God. I am the Lord, not one of the Lords, but the Lord that brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. God introduces himself, I am the one who delivered you. Second, thou shalt have no other gods before me. This commandment is not open to discussion. This commandment is based on reality, and this commandment is based on facts. There are gods, but they will perish. And lest you embrace them and perish with them, do not put these gods between you and me. You were created as my son and as my daughter to behold my face. The angels cannot behold my face. The cherubims and the seraphims cannot behold my face because they are not the sons of God. But you are, and it is only the son and the daughter that can behold the face of the Father. The angels have to cover themselves because the glory of God to them is external. The glory of God to the angels and all other created beings is external. The glory of God to the children of God is internal. Because God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost cannot dwell in angels or cherubims or animals or even inanimate objects. But God has created men and women, the children of God, the sons and daughters of God, so that not only can he dwell with them, but he can dwell inside them. Therefore, God is saying, because I dwell inside you, don't dilute my power. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Because when you bring other gods into the picture, you are humiliating the God who dwells inside you. These are not the gods which delivered you in time of need. These are not the gods that help you in time of need. I am the Lord thy God, not your bank, not your boss. I am the Lord thy God. I am the Lord thy God. When Jesus came into the world, they rejected him. The Bible says, factually, in John chapter 1, he was in the world. Who is he? The creator of the universe, the possessor of the universe, the father of the children that he created, the flesh and blood of his brethren, the eldest brother in the family of God, the savior, the deliverer, the only God, eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, all-powerful, almighty, was in the world. But they were more worried about how much money they had in the bank. That's what the Gospels say, that they were covetous. He was in the world, Jesus, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. But God says, that's fine, because the world has rejected me anyway. So the world rejected me, the Gentiles rejected me, because they don't worship me as their God anyway. But let me go to the people that worship me. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own children that called him Jehovah and worshipped him. And his own children rejected him because they knew him not. But to them that received him, just a handful, to them gave him the authority to be called the sons of God. even to those who believe on his name. The name is important. What is the name? Unless you believe in the name of Jesus Christ and live a life according to this belief in the Word of God, you are not a son of God. You might be a son of other gods, but you are not the son of Almighty God. But our God is a God above all gods, and a Lord above all lords. Let us take some examples from the Word of God that will help us understand who our God is, what is the priority that we have given to our God, and what place other gods form in our lives. So if for some reason, unknowingly, the gods of this universe have been placed between us and God, the God of gods, Jesus, we can remove those gods and drag them to the trash can, so there will be a direct link between us and God. Let us analyze our life based on what is written in the fear of God. Let us ask ourselves one question. Factually, frankly, and truthfully before God, let us answer this question. Is there anything that we fear? Let me ask that question again. Is there anything that we fear? Let me be a little more specific. Do you fear health problems? Do you fear family problems? Do you fear job problems? Do you fear financial problems? Do you fear that you will fall into sin? Do you fear that for some reason something will happen and you won't get raptured? Do you fear that you'll go to hell? Do you fear that demons will overpower you? What do you fear? That is your God. Whatever you fear now becomes your God. The Bible says, I am the Lord thy God. Him only shalt thou fear. Some men fear that they will become a widower. Some women fear that they will become a widow. Some children fear that they'll become orphans. What you fear, that becomes your God. That's why the Bible says, oh, give thanks to the God of gods. And fear makes you weak and powerless and paralyzed. Let's take one example in the Bible and find out if there is any fear in our life. God says, I am the Lord thy God. And the Bible says, the Lord thy God, him only shalt thou fear. Hallelujah! Let him be your dread and your fear, and your reverence and your respect. What happens when you fear something other than God? You make a fool of yourself. You know, fear starts with the letter F, and fool starts with the letter F too. He that feareth maketh a fool of himself. Saul did, and the children of Israel did. They sang, the Lord is our God. And they sang and worshipped the Lord. And when Goliath showed up, there was not a single one of them left. They ran like they never ran in their life. You could hear the clang of their armor as they saw Goliath and ran for their life. But there was only one little boy whose God was the Lord. Goliath looked at him and said, "Hey, you little dog, what are you doing here?" David said, "I am not the dog, you're the dog." Goliath said, "I am so tall, I'm so strong, and I'm so mighty, and you little boy chicken meat, you're trying to insult me? Your God cannot deliver you. Look at your army, your king. Your army is nowhere to be found. If you put your binoculars into your eyes and look way yonder, they're far away hiding. I'll get them. But let me first get you, little boy." And the little boy said, "Today, your head will be in my hand." That was enough for the giant. "You arrogant young boy. Sounds like your mom didn't teach you how to respect giants." And David said, "You might be a giant for Saul and the children of Israel, but you're nothing but a mosquito. You're a gnat. And I will clap my hand and crush you and suck your blood, and you will be nothing better than a dead stone, because thou hast challenged the God of Israel. And this day will God deliver you into my hand, and you and your people and your God will serve Israel, that all nations and all the universe may know that the Lord of Israel is the God of gods." Saul and the Israel army, the mighty army, watched from a distance. If we had television, they would have sat in their house and watched the show. David's father, Jesse, cried his heart out. He said, "I cannot watch my son getting slaughtered. My crazy son, why did you do that?" His brothers wept and sobbed. His aunts and his uncles didn't want to be recognized by the name of David. Let's face it, if it happened today, that's how it's going to be. His classmates in school said, "Well, I don't know. I don't know, David. I don't know what you're talking about." And the giant's blood pressure boiled to 275 by 110. That was enough to give a stroke to a normal human being. He turned red, like Washington Red State apples. His armor bearer ran before him. He said, "I have heard enough. You and your God, O Israel, will be dead today." David said, "We shall see whether your God Dagon created the world or Jehovah Jesus created the world. This is a war not between Philistines and Israel. This is a war between Dagon and Jehovah." The giant was well equipped. The sight of him would strike fear through those who call themselves Christians today, yet are afraid of the devil. The giant ran towards David. David ran towards the giant. David had something that the giant didn't have. Giant had Lucifer inside him. David had God inside him because he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He said, "With my bare hands, I broke the jaw of the lion. With my bare hands, I killed the bear. and with my bare hands I will slaughter you, O giant. The stone left the hand of David. The angels carried it to this destination. Goliath did not understand human anatomy. God did, because he created Goliath. And he knew exactly where the stone has to go to inactivate and paralyze all his organs and stop his heart. And it went to the frontal lobe of the brain and sank into it. And the impact of that little stone killed the giant. You know, God could have taken a huge mountain and made tomato ketchup out of Goliath. But he didn't want to do that, because then everyone will say, well, you know, God is capable of doing that. So he took a little boy and a little stone and a little sling and killed the mightiest man, the strongest man, other than Samson, who ever lived on this planet. And David took Goliath's sword, because he didn't have one. Why did David take Goliath's sword? Because Goliath was the one who opened his tongue, his sword, and challenged the God of Israel. So in essence, David used the tongue of Goliath to cut his head off. And he grabbed the hair. I know this is pretty scary, but he grabbed the head of Goliath and showed it to the Philistines. He grabbed the head of Goliath and showed it to Saul and the children of Israel, and screamed, "Thus shall the Lord do, O Israel, unto all thy enemies against whom thou shalt fight." Who was David's God? Who was Saul's God? The battle showed the difference. David's God was Jehovah. The same name that named Jesus. Today, let us think. Does fear paralyze us? Cast out fear in the name of Jesus Christ and clothe yourself with God. One thing that we children of God should understand is that when you walk around in this world, you may look no different from the other person to your fleshly eyes. But when finance sees you, when the stock market sees you, when disease sees you, when health sees you, when tragedy sees you, when fear itself sees you, it falls down before you, including the devil, and worships you. Why? Because the seal of God is on your forehead. Hallelujah! The seal of God, the fingerprint of God, that sealed your forehead saying, "You are my son," is on your forehead. The Holy Spirit is inside you saying, "Abba, Father, help my son." God, praying to God. In the book of Revelation it says, "Do not hurt anything until we have sealed the servants of our God on our foreheads." That is why to those who have been washed by the blood of Jesus and baptized with water, and believe in Jesus Christ and the Word of God from cover to cover and practice it in their life and want the strength and power to live according to the Word, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is very important. There are three things that the devil is scared of. And that is in the book of John: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. The water stands for water baptism, and it also stands for the Word of God that cleanseth us. The blood stands for the blood of Jesus Christ that purifies us. The Spirit stands for the fire baptism of the Holy Spirit that transforms us. And the devil is scared of these three things. So to attain the fullness of Jesus Christ, we need to be washed with water in the waters of immersion baptism. We need to confess our sins and be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we need to be baptized by the Holy Spirit and sealed by the Holy Spirit. So that the universe may understand that we are not like anybody else. We give thanks unto the Lord. We give thanks unto the God of gods. And we give thanks to the Lord of lords. The Antichrist will come. And there are a few characteristics in the Antichrist that I want to bring to the body of Christ's attention this Sunday morning. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name, and no one receiveth me but a handful. There is another person that shall come in his own name, not named by the Father, Jesus, but in his own name. And the Jews and the Gentiles will receive him. Number one. The Bible talks about this man in the book of Daniel and in the book of Revelation. The book of Daniel says this man will reject the desire of women. He will reject the sanctity and the holiness of marriage. Because that was the first thing that God did in the Garden of Eden. I do not want man to be alone, but I will make a helper fit for him. And God made the woman out of the flesh of Adam and brought her unto him. Why is this man of sin, Antichrist, against marriage? Because marriage represents the relationship between Jesus Christ and his church. We are bone of his bones and flesh of his body. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is the great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Marriage represents the covenant between God and his church. So this man of sin, Antichrist, will be against marriage. Next, the book of Daniel says he'll make himself powerful with a small people. A small country. You can view it on the map of the world and it will be very small. Next, he will obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Next, he will exalt the God of forces, a God that neither we nor our fathers knew. What is the God of forces? Defense. He will come as a man of peace. The Bible says he will exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as the devil, will sit in the temple of God proclaiming that he is God. He comes from the city of seven hills, prophesied in the book of Revelation, which is none other than known. He is that harlot that sitteth upon that beast. And John asked, who is that? And the angel replied, this is that city that ruleth upon the kings of the world, Rome. Well then, who is the man that refuseth the desire of women? The Pope, the King of the Roman Catholic Church. Remember, the Roman Catholic Church has the word Rome in it. Why didn't they just call it the Catholic Church? Why did they call it the Roman Catholic Church? Because Rome, her deadly wound has healed, as in the book of Revelation. And now she is coming back to life. If you don't believe it, go look at the triple crown on Pope's head, and it says Vicarius Filii Dei. What does VI stand for? VI stands for six. What happens when you put a C right next to V? It is 600. And you can add it up, it's 666. Vicarius Filii Dei, the triple crown that Pope wears. Sister Suja was telling me that recently the Pope met with Tony Blair, you know, the former ruler of England. He's still active. And Obama and all of them met and formulated a plan on how to unite all the world religions and come up with a common religion. In the first century, Apostle John said the spirit of Antichrist already works. The Roman Catholic Church, the papacy, prohibits marriage for the Pope as well as those who get into a life of celibacy. The monks cannot marry, the nuns cannot marry, and the Pope cannot marry. And Daniel, even thousands of years before the Roman Catholic Church was formed, God revealed to Daniel, he will not accept, he will refuse, and he will reject the desire of women. It is not a politician that can unite the religions of this world. It is a political religious leader who will. Vicarius Filii Dei means substitute for the Son of God. The Son of God doesn't need a substitute. The Bible says that wicked one shall be destroyed with the brightness of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming soon. In the book of Thessalonians it says, that day shall not come until the man of sin be revealed, that son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or is worshipped, so that he will sit in the temple of God, calling himself that he is God. And you know what letteth? That he will not be manifest now. That word letteth in ancient English is opposite of what it means in the 21st century. The word letteth means hindereth, stoppeth. And Apostle Paul said, Satan hindered us. He who now letteth will let. He who now hindereth will hinder until he be taken out of the way. And the book of Revelation says, Michael and his angels fought and took Satan out of the way. And he fell onto this earth. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation that he gave his power unto the Antichrist. All the denominations that you see today, someone might get mad with me for saying it, but I don't care. All the denominations that you see today, the Christian denominations, will unite with the Antichrist, because he will bring fire from heaven. He will cause a statue to come to life. Lying wonders, lying miracles. The spirit of deception will be so great that those who resisted the truth today will all accept him, except the elect. And then the rapture will take place. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of God, lords. Though they may be lords many and gods many, unto us there is one God, Jehovah, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is one God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And there is one God, the Holy Spirit. Hear, O Israel, thy Lord, thy God is one God. And thou shalt love and fear the Lord thy God above all gods. The gods that have not made heaven and earth shall perish from under the firmament. But we and our God will stand forever. We have a kingdom which cannot be moved. The rest will be moved. We have a God who will help us. And that right early. He's never too early. He's never too late. He's right on time. May the Lord bless these words and strengthen us. Amen.